This is a segment from The Annex, an academic sociology-themed podcast. For more, visit us on the web at theannexpodcast.com.
Well, the World Economic Forum at Davos just wrapped up, and beyond the typical cast of characters that you all know and love who go to this every year, so like shameless billionaires, disgraced politicians, charlatans, otherwise known as thought leaders, an unlikely breakout star, who is this Dutch writer and historian. His name is Rutger Bregman. And did you guys catch the video of Bregman speaking that went viral over the past week?
Absolutely.
Okay, so he was at Davos, and he was speaking on a panel that was actually sponsored by Time Magazine. And the theme of this panel had something to do with inequality. And so the portion of his talk that was clipped into video and went viral was him saying something to the effect of, you know, this is my first time at Davos, and I find it to be a bewildering experience. He says, I hear people talking the language of participation and justice and equality and transparency, but no one raises the real issue of tax avoidance and the rich not paying their fair share. And then the piece that went super viral was he said, it feels like I'm at a firefighters conference and no one's allowed to speak about water. We can invite Bono once more, but we've got to be talking about taxes. That's it. Taxes, taxes, taxes. All the rest is BS. And he didn't say BS, but he said the full thing. All the rest is BS, in my opinion. And so I think it's so interesting this went viral. I mean, between this and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez calling to abolish billionaires in the past week, and again, this I think spooked somebody like Howard Schultz into joining the 2020 presidential race. What do you all think about this moment of virality of a Dutch historian talking about taxes?
Yeah. I thought he was on the money too. Like, I remember working this out in my book, like, philanthropy is small. So like in 2017, I saw a report, Americans gave like $410 billion to charity, and a little less than one third of that goes to like religious organizations, right? Mm-hmm. That's like synagogue and church dues for that pay for Sunday school and your services and all of that, the rec hall and all of that. And a lot of that $410 billion goes to charities that benefit richer people's communities, right? Like the community garden and all of that. Only a fraction of that goes to poor people. So like all giving in America in 2017 is $410 billion. And the Medicaid program on its own costs $592 billion. So like all of the charity in America wouldn't cover 1 year of one part of America's very meager social safety net. So I totally agree with this guy. Like, I'm loath to dismiss all philanthropy from wealthy people. Like, there are some great people who do a lot for social causes, but like, I see this as the exception. Like, a lot of talk of philanthropy I see as a, pardon the crude term, but like a rich people circle jerk. Like, they spend far more than they would under any taxation, or far less than they would under any serious taxation scheme. And more importantly, like he didn't even talk about tax evasion, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think is an even bigger problem. I remember a report by the CBC saying like nobody's been followed up on after the Panama Papers. And of course they enjoy this like noblesse oblige type of thing.
Totally. The optics of being a philanthropist versus a tax-paying corporate citizen, right?
Yeah. You're like, oh, thank you, sir, for, you know, that coin. It's like, it's basically, I imagine it's like the modern equivalent of like the top-hatted billionaire walking through the slums of New York flipping coins to like the poor. And this guy's totally right. Like, this is no substitute for like a properly funded social safety net, which America just doesn't have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's fascinating to understand this viral moment, given sort of the background of like, how did this dude get invited, right? Because Davos is an invite only kind of a conference, you know, and so given the kind of really strong stance he took against the corporate bigwigs that were in the room, it's like, well, why was he even invited? But in some ways, I think some of Bregman's writings and the different concepts he's become popular for do appeal to Silicon Valley Davos types. His background as a historian and as a writer is that he talks about utopias, advances, you know, arguments in favor of things like universal basic income, which are really popular among the Silicon Valley types, because I think for them it's a way to subsidize the human fallout that have come from their, like, quote unquote, disruptive labor practices. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting to see someone like Bregman, right, get a foothold into this type of a space. And for me in particular, that all of this came to a head in the past week where he was up on that stage talking about utopias and UBI to that kind of an audience, you know, it made me think that in sociology, there's a connection to make, right, to acknowledge and pay homage to someone like Eric Olin Wright, who our field is in mourning over, you know, in the past couple of weeks, whose work in this area is so crucial and actually provided the kind of backdrop for someone like Bregman to go viral this week.
Bart?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. It's nice of you to mention Eric Olin Wright, giant in sociology. But it's interesting that we are seeing some of these ideas that people like Wright and others have been writing about, enter the political landscape. It's been really interesting with Ocasio-Cortez, obviously, talking about marginal tax rates, and with the speaker at Davos. I actually found that Bregman's speech was really interesting, and I think it made a splash. It obviously went viral. But it was actually really nicely followed up by the comments from the Oxfam International Executive Director, Winnie Byanyima, who responded to a critique from the audience, right? The critique came from Ken Goldman, who is Yahoo's chief financial officer. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, you know, who cares about taxes? What we're doing is we're creating jobs, and the U.S. is historically low unemployment, which is a response you frequently hear. Yeah. And Winnie Byanyima just completely demolished the argument. She said, yes, there are jobs, but they are awful jobs. They're insecure jobs. They're precarious. They're low paying. They don't provide people with a modicum of human dignity. And so I thought in some ways it was a really nice coupling of two comments from Bregman and from Byanyima that capture an emerging discourse on the left. Some may call it an economic populist discourse, or maybe in some ways it's a socialist discourse that is really about fighting for economic justice, economic equality, for the dignity of working people. And we're seeing that become mainstream, both in the United States and in Europe. And that's a really interesting development that may shift the Overton window to some degree on the kinds of topics that we can discuss when it comes to the economy.
Oh, I totally agree, Bart. I mean, this entire event had shades of We Are the 99% to it, because I think that panel that Byanyima and Bregman were on was organized around a report from Oxfam International that said there are 26 individual billionaires in the world that possess the same wealth as the world's poorest 3.8 billion people combined. And so that was really the conversation starting point of this panel. And so there are certainly some opportunities, I think, that people are beginning to mobilize around, particularly, you know, in light of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and other people that are kind of jumping onto this moment to advance these arguments and critiques.
I do want to say this is precisely the reason why I think someone like Schultz is just, the time is not right for someone like him. No, Bill, I don't see a billionaire standing up and demanding taxes. And I think taxes is part of what's needed, not just to billionaires, but of the upper middle class as well. I don't know if you can win by selling it, but I'd say no to a billionaire just on that alone.
Agreed. Yeah. And I think where, you know, the one thing in Bregman's comments that was interesting is he did allude to the fact that billionaires and people in the top income brackets are not actually paying their fair share. So it's not just that he was talking about marginal tax rates, which I think was part of the subtext, but it was also about the loopholes. And it was also about the fact that rich people have a whole variety of methods through which they avoid paying their fair share. I think this is a topic that will keep coming back in the political discourse over the next while, and I think it's a good thing.
It's a huge problem, though, evasion. And I made quick mention of it earlier, but I was so struck by that story about how few people got caught up in the Panama Papers scandal and the Paradise Papers scandal. Like, from a legal standpoint, they had a ton of data on people who were willfully evading taxes, and the Canadian Revenue Service was just not following up. Like, what on earth is going on with that? Like, that has to be a sign of there being something wrong.
For more, visit us on the web, theannexpodcast.com.